Looks like fun, huh? Yes, you know, when I got here this morning, I was told that the sound isn't working well and the projector wasn't working well and at least the lights are on. But and I went on panic mode because my message today is heavily dependent on the projector, because I have like 58 pictures I want to show you of the mission trip. We really had a great time and wanted to bring you there. And the only person I know who could troubleshoot this is Jonathan Coy. And so I called Jonathan Coy, and the first question I asked him, Jonathan, are you in town? And he said, I was. I said, oh, great. You know, projector's not working. But, you know, a lot of the things that happen in the background is really run by a lot of volunteers. And we just really have to appreciate the volunteers that we have. Can we give them a big hand, you know? All these people that's in the background, making sure that the lights are on and the projectors are on and everything's on, you know. Even our live stream is down right now. But it's all run by volunteers. And maybe if you're not volunteering for anything here, maybe you should volunteer and get involved. There's a lot of things that we need in terms of having bench strength in these positions. So just let me know. Let me know. We could always use another extra hand.
God bless our volunteers.
Amen. 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 But, you know, we went to the Philippines. We had a great time in the mission trip. I'd like to ask those who went to the Philippine mission trip this year, could you please stand? And we'd just like to acknowledge you. Are you here? All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us in the mission trip. And we're going to be telling the story in a little bit, but let's turn our Bibles or your iPads or iPhones or whatever to 2 Corinthians 9:6 to 15, and let's read our scripture for today. 2 Corinthians 9:6 to 15. This is what it says. It says, "Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gifts." Last week, or 2 weeks ago, Pastor Frank talked about giving, and today I'm going to give a missions report on how your missions giving was used in the Philippine mission trip last July. So every time I think of giving to missions, I remember the story of this third grade Sunday school class taught by Mrs. Brown. And so Mrs. Brown talked to her class about the role of missionaries and how important it is to support them. So she asked her class, "If you had $100 with you, who among you would like to give it to missions?" And immediately little Bobby raised his hand, and she smiled, "Very good, little Bobby. Now if you had $50, who among you would like to give it to missions?" And again little Bobby raised his hand, "Very good again. Now if you had $10, would you give it to missions?" And this time little Bobby was silent. So she looked at him and said, "Well, Bobby, if you had $10, would you give it to missions?" And he said, "I have $10. There's this story about a church meeting where the congregation's wealthiest member decided to share his testimony. He said, "I'm a millionaire. and I attribute it all to the rich blessings of God in my life. I can still remember the turning point in my faith like it was yesterday. I was in high school and I had just earned my first dollar. And I went to the youth meeting that night, and the speaker was a missionary who told about his work. I knew that I only had $1 bill, and I had to either give it all to God's work or nothing at all. That was in the 1950s, you know, and a dollar was a lot of money back then. So at that moment, he said, I decided to give my whole dollar to the Lord, 100% of all I had. And I believe that God blessed that decision, and that is why I'm a rich man today. When he finished and sat down, the missions committee chairman leaned over and said, awesome testimony, brother. I dare you to do it again. Now, I tell you these stories in jest, but in reality, I am proud of this church because so many of you have generously and lavishly given to missions, and I just want to thank you today and give you a report of how your mission dollars were spent. There is such a sweet spirit of generosity in this church, and I feel privileged to be able to partner with you in serving God. This expression of gratitude comes not just from me and from the mission team, but also from the people in the mission field who have benefited a lot from your giving. In fact, you were the answer to their prayers. As they were praying for God's provision for their needs, God was answering by touching your heart to give to missions. In a lot of ways, I feel like the Apostle Paul. In this passage, we see Paul encouraging the Christian in Corinth to make a generous gift to the church in Jerusalem. There was a famine in Jerusalem, and the church there was extremely poor. So Paul made an appeal to the Corinthian Christians to help because they were more affluent and had the ability to do so. Basically, the Apostle Paul is telling them, look, this is a life and death situation for many of our brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. And here is an opportunity for you to make a difference. Many of them are starving and have nothing to eat, while you have been blessed by God with so much. Share the blessing and make a difference, and God will bless you for your faithfulness. So did the Corinthian Christians respond? Oh, you bet. In Romans 15, 26 to 27, Paul writes, for Macedonia and Achaia, that is Corinth, were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessing, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. This is significant because this is the first recorded overseas missionary giving that is cross-cultural between Jews and Gentiles. Things like this do not happen between Jews and Gentiles back then, because between the Jews and Gentiles is a huge racial divide. And yet it happened in the church because of the love of Christ. Woodbridge Church, you are making a difference in the lives of other people. Yes, you are. Absolutely. And here I am, just like the Apostle Paul, eager to report to you what a difference your missionary giving has done. So the Philippine mission trip this year, the team went to three areas. The first mission area is Hope Christian Center, which is a two-year-old church that was planted by a church planting couple we are supporting, Pastor Godfrey and Gloria Catanis. We conducted two conferences there. We arrived Friday evening, and on Saturday we conducted a family conference, and on a Monday we did a pastors and church leaders conference. It was raining when we arrived, but we prayed for good weather, and lo and behold, the rain stopped. For the whole duration of our trip. Some days it drizzled a little bit, but it did not affect our activities. And so after this church in Iloilo, we visited two other areas where we have student sponsorship programs. One is in a rural poor area called IRC, or Ixus Redeemed Communities, which is in central Philippines. Ixus is Greek for fish, which was an early Christian symbol used by the church to identify one another. IRC is also a community development center. They have fruits and vegetable farm and a rice field, poultry, duck raising, bakery, among other things. But a major component of their ministry is an orphanage where we have about 22 students that we are supporting and provide for their food, their clothing, and school expenses. In IRC, we went to Breakthrough Christian Academy in Payatas, which is an urban poor area. So the other is rural poor, this is urban poor. And we also have over 30 student scholars there. And Payatas is where the refuse of Manila is dumped. It's a huge landfill. And there's mountains of garbage there. So let me begin and tell you in detail what we did in these three areas. Let me begin with Hope Christian Center. It's located in the center of a rapidly growing suburb in Iloilo, where a lot of new houses are being built, and several young families are moving in. And that is why we conducted a family conference, where we discussed topics addressing marriage and parenting, and according to the Bible. As you can see, the whole family is there. And we discussed topics, varied topics, but we used a holistic approach to building the family centered around a spiritual community, which is the church. And Pastor Jonathan and Lelot were even able to join us for the mission trip. Thank God. After the family conference, we fed the whole family and the whole conference, and everybody was happy, you know. And then Sunday, we led worship service, and on Monday, we conducted a pastors and church leaders conference. It had around 100 in attendance. Pastors and leaders from all over the city and neighboring islands traveled great distances in order to come and join us. We gave the pastors and their families gift bags full of clothes and stuff. And after the conference, we treated them to a sumptuous meal complete with roast pig or lechon. You know lechon. And everybody was happy. In the end, we had a testimony time, and the pastors told their stories and testimonies. One pastor said he didn't realize that he was already going through burnout, because that was one of our topics. He just resigned from his church, and because there was so much conflict, he was ready to quit the ministry. But because he came, he found hope. He learned that a lot of great heroes in the Bible also went through depression, and he was not alone. So he found community there among other pastors who were also going through the same thing. After this mission area in Iloilo, we proceeded to the next mission area, which was Negros, where we ministered in IRC, which is a rural poor area, and we have 22 students that we are supporting in that orphanage. Many of the young girls there are victims of human trafficking, and yet here they are smiling. It's priceless when you see the redemption of Jesus Christ in action. That's what your missionary giving is able to accomplish. Because of your support, these orphans have a place to stay, food to eat, clothes to wear, and are able to go to school and have a hope for a better future. Before this, they were roaming the streets, homeless and with nothing. Now they have a place to live with three meals a day in the IRC orphanage. And here they are being brought home after school. And as you can see, there are no seatbelt laws in the Philippines. And there are probably close to 20 kids in that truck. But it's all good, you know. No accidents, nothing. Everybody's safe. They're used to that. They know how to hold on. Fina even celebrated her birthday when we were there. And they baked her a cake. That was really sweet. In turn, Fina treated the children to ice cream. We asked, how often do you have ice cream? And they said, maybe once a year, if ever. Can you imagine that? Something so common to us like ice cream is a precious commodity to them. So for $30, Fina brought them ice cream in a huge bucket. And they were so thrilled. What a treat. You could see their eyes widen. And they went for seconds and thirds. And there's Pastor Jonathan serving ice cream to the kids and they were so thrilled. The kids had such a great time, so Fina treated them again to ice cream the following day at dinner time. You know? I mean, they loved ice cream. What else did we do there? Where else did you make a difference? What other projects did we accomplish? Well, because of your support, we were able to fund the tiling of their preschool center, which was previously just dirt floor. Look at how beautiful that flooring is. Makes a big difference, doesn't it? We also went to a remote village called Barangay Tikoy Tikoy, where we cemented the dirt road leading to the village square. In this next slide, it was raining a little bit, so John just got one of those large taro leaves and used it as an umbrella, you know. So these are the before and after photos of that dirt road that we cemented. Big difference, isn't it? But you see, because of that, this village or barangay Tikoy Tikoy, as it's called, is now accessible to motorized vehicles, which makes it easier to transport food and other commodities. And you know, as a side note, this barangay was the former center of communist insurgency in that area, communist terrorists. But the communist leader, lo and behold, became a Christian through IRC. So now, instead of spreading communist propaganda in his home, he now leads Bible studies in his home. How was this communist-dominated village brought to Christ? It was through years of hard work and acts of kindness shown by IRC. Think about it. For decades, this road was a dirt road. The government doesn't provide for them or what they needed. It had to take a church thousands of miles away in America who cared enough to show love to a remote village like Tikoy Tikoy to get this road cemented. It's those acts of kindness that continue to soften their hearts for the gospel, and you had a part in making that happen. We also did the finishing work of the new building that they put up after a recent fire burned down two of their buildings. And again, here we see the before and after photos. But as you know, in all honesty, it was really they who did all the hard work in these projects. We just funded it. We could have just sent them the money, and it would have been done. But you know, the value that we brought to the table that made a big difference to them was our presence. That we traveled all the way from America to come to their remote village where hardly anybody really cares about them. And here we are coming all the way just to show them that their lives matter. That they are important to us. Why? Because they are important to Jesus. That's the message we bring. It's a classic case where actions speak louder than words. It's the ministry of presence that means a lot to them, that we would spend time with them. So here we are. We share Jesus with them. We played games with them. We sang songs with them. We celebrated with them. We played ball with them. There's just something incarnational about that. Like Jesus, who came down to earth as a man because he cared enough to say, "I love you," in person. He could have sent angels to send that message, but he came to earth personally and intervened in the lives of mankind to redeem us from our brokenness. And yes, there is much brokenness in this world. You know, let me tell you this story. When we were cementing the dirt road, there were two little girls named Aizel and Micah that were following us around, particularly because we had food and they were hungry. They were two sisters, homeless, ages 15 and 8. Their mother recently died and their father was far away finding work. So they're abandoned kids, sleeping in the rice fields and under the trees, begging for food in the village. The thing is, the IRC orphanage was already full, and we were wondering what Pastor Steve, our orphanage director, will do. Well, in the Philippines, there's an old saying, if the blanket is too small, everybody just squeeze in. So that's what they did. Squeeze in to make room for two more orphans. I mean, how could you refuse them? Look at them. Now these two have a brighter hope for the future. But that's the backstory behind every scholar that we've been supporting in our I-320 student scholarship program. Kids who previously had no hope, but now they can hope for a brighter future because we intervene in their lives. There's something redemptive about that. For example, meet Carl. Here he is giving his testimony. Before he came to IRC, he was dealing drugs in the street to support his wife and two kids. That's his wife, Vanessa. And they were minors living in the streets when they had their first child. Now he is in IRC as their all-around custodian. Both he and his wife are finishing the equivalent of a GED, so they hope that someday they could enter college. This next one is Roy. He's 12 years old. He's deaf-mute, not because of he was born that way, but because he was malnourished and abused and beaten while living in the streets when he was younger. Nobody knows his family origins, who his parents are, where he is from, or when he was born. He doesn't even know his birthday. But now he is healthier and is able to utter a few sentences. He loves to play basketball and dreams to have his own bike someday, just like any ordinary kid. This next one is Jarnalyn. She is now 18 years old, but like most of other children who were brought to the IRC Center by social services, Jarnalyn endured unspeakable horrors as a young child, a victim of human trafficking, being sold into slavery along with her sister by their depressed mother. Prior to arriving at IRC, Jarnalyn had no schooling experience, but she is now enrolled in their alternative learning system program at IRC. She's gradually learning to read and write, and she enjoys being a student. Jarnalyn and her sister both live at the IRC Center. This next one is Joy. She's a 14-year-old, a victim of tragic circumstances. She was an abandoned child with mental challenges when she got to IRC about 4 years ago. She was just about 10 years old back then. When she first arrived, she didn't understand the concept of love at all. The trauma she went through was unbelievable. And only through the constant nurturing of other children at IRC has she gradually come to know what it's like to be loved. That she is smiling at all is a miracle from God. I know, because now she is so affectionate and she kept hugging us, all of us in the team, because she knows that we are the reason she's able to stay at IRC because she's our scholar. Praise God, you know. Jarnalyn is now a happy child. She loves to sing and play with the other children and has made so much progress. These are just a few of the students we are sponsoring. So why are we doing this? Because through this, we have an opportunity to change the lives of these children forever. To alter the course of their history for good. Their lives would be totally different had we not intervened. There's something redemptive about that. Something very like what Jesus would do. So who is responsible for running IRC? Well, his name is Pastor Steve Indino, the managing director. Steve is a hardworking pastor. Not only does he run the orphanage and the community development center, he also manages many different IRC centers throughout the country. He is here with a patch in his eye. He was suffering from Bell's palsy when we arrived. The doctor told him it's caused by stress and that he needs to slow down and take a break. But how could he, with all the responsibilities that he has? So the mission team got together and decided to pool our resources together and fund his sabbatical so that he can have the money to take a break, just as the doctor ordered. So Woodbridge Church, you are making a difference in the lives of others, more than you ever know. And I truly believe God is blessing us for a reason, so that we can be a channel of blessing to others. God is blessing us so we can be a blessing to others. In 2 Corinthians 9, the Apostle Paul talks about sowing and reaping. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compassion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. You see, in an agrarian economy, sowing is always perceived as an investment. They know that they have to set aside seed for the next season so that they have something to sow. They do not consume that seed because if they do, then they will have nothing to sow and plant and nothing to harvest in the next season, and everyone will starve. It's an investment. So here Paul is saying, as God blesses you, invest. Invest in other people's lives by giving to them and blessing them. And that is precisely what we are doing in our student sponsorship program, like I-320. We are investing in people's lives. While they are young, we are investing in them for their food and shelter and clothing, investing in their education, providing an environment where they can have Bible studies and worship services, where they can meet, know, and follow Jesus. We are altering the course of their lives forever, for good. For many of these children, instead of a life of crime, they now have a hope for a better future. And their children will have a better future, and their descendants will have a better future. Why? Because once upon a time, a church in the United States thought about them, about having a student scholarship program like I-320. And what you have done will be remembered forever. That is what it says in verses 8 to 9. It says, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound to every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, and their righteousness endures how long? Forever. So as we faithfully give to others, God will continuously bless us. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying. God is blessing you so you can be a blessing to others. And what you have done will be remembered for all of eternity. No wonder Jesus said, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Because investing in people's lives is something that will pay eternal dividends. Its returns are forever. Verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving. You know, I've been doing mission trips for over a decade and a half. And I can really feel my age. After a long day's work and waking up the following day, I can feel every bone aching in my body. And I tell myself, I'm getting too old for this. I don't know if I could do this next year. But after seeing the joy you bring to these children and the fulfillment of knowing that you have invested wisely, I tell myself, okay, Lord, one more year. One more year. And it's like that every year. It's hard work, but I can't stop doing it. And every mission trip, I'm the one feeling blessed. I'm the one being changed. And so after IRC, we proceeded to Manila to minister in Payatas, which is the huge landfill. And there we partner with Breakthrough Christian Academy and Breakthrough Church. We have about 38 student scholars in that urban poor setting. And here they have a bulletin board showing some of our scholars that have graduated already to serve as an inspiration to those that are still studying. So there in Payatas, we did a feeding program. We did medical missions. We distributed food packages containing canned goods and rice. We met with their church members and staff and encouraged them from the Word of God. We met and encouraged our student scholars. That boy, by the way, is Danzel Rense, the student scholar that was sponsored by our VBS program, our Vacation Bible School. Our small children were able to raise funds to support him, and he is so grateful. But one scholar that stood out for me was a student that I sponsored way back in 2012. She graduated 7 years ago, and her name is Roseanne. And she took time off work to see me and let me know how she is doing. She told me that she is doing very well in her job and that she was just recently promoted to supervisor. She also recently bought a car, which she is investing in a Grab taxi, much like Uber. I was so happy to see her succeed, considering that she was once upon a time one of the children that was in our children's feeding program. But what really blessed me most was when she told me that she herself is now supporting a student scholar. She's paying it forward. And that, my friends, is how you change society. One person at a time. Here's what I learned from this experience, and it comes from verses 12 to 15. It says, "This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves to others will, praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gifts." What I learned is this: our generosity gives glory to God. I said to myself, what an investment. My generosity to Roseanne not only blessed me and her, but is now blessing the students she's sponsoring. And how many more people will be blessed as we pass on this gift of generosity from one person to another? The gift goes on and on and on. And it's all for the glory of God. Hallelujah. In the Philippines, the best way to get out of poverty is through education. That is why our I-320 student scholarship program is creating such an impact upon the lives of these students. It's giving them hope for a better life, and they see it happening. People like Roseanne serve as an inspiration to others. And yes, their lives can change and be better if they trust God and come to church. Because I-320 is a church-sponsored scholarship program. How are you making a difference in the lives of people? Well, let me summarize. Here's how. Strengthening families in the Lord, encouraging pastors in crisis, bringing hope to orphans, tiling floors in the preschool, building a road in a remote village, painting a house in the orphanage, sharing God's love to the marginalized, providing a sabbatical for a weary pastor, providing free medical care to the poor, feeding over 700 children every week, providing food packages for the needy, encouraging fellow Christian workers, providing education to the underprivileged, providing a home for homeless children, providing clothes and school supplies for these children, and much more. People's lives are changed forever because you care enough to support missions. There's one more story before I close. You see, Pastor Jonathan and Lelot were able to join us for this mission trip. And Lelot has a testimony, but unfortunately she's not here to tell us herself. So I'll just tell you the story. When we were at the orphanage in IRC, she noticed that one of the little boys whose fly was open. So she discreetly mentioned to him and said, you know, zip your pants. And embarrassed, the little boy said, "The zipper is broken." And immediately her heart sank. She thought of how many of us here in the U.S. have clothing that our kids have outgrown, and that's just sitting there in the cabinets. Well, there are so many kids in the Philippines with tattered clothes in need of them. Maybe we can send them some of those clothes. So why don't we have a clothing drive for the children, Lelot thought. And that's why we have a flyer insert in your bulletin. And I'd like to read to you what it says, and maybe you can help. It says, "Our Philippine orphanage needs your help. If you have next to new summer clothing, no sweaters, please, because it doesn't get that cold there. And shoes for elementary and high school boys and girls, please bring them to church. and deposit them in our clothing barrel between September 8 to 22, so the next two Sundays. We will ship them to the Philippines by September 27. We also need cash donations, so if you can't give and you'd like to give cash, you can. We'll buy school supplies with them and cover our shipping costs. Address your check to WCC and designate it to Philippine Orphanage. Matthew 25:40, the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of these, least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." Folks, generosity is a good thing because when you die, you leave all your money behind. And the only investment you can take with you when you die is your ministry to people, because only people will get to heaven. Woodbridge Church, you have given generously for the Lord's work. So I want to say thank you for caring for people through your missions offering. If you go to the corridor outside the church, you see our mission wall. And there, you see many more missionaries that our church is supporting. And you know, our mission support doesn't come from general offering. It comes from designated giving. Giving that people give over and above their tithes to the church. So thank you for your generosity. It truly is making a difference. Woodbridge Church, you're making a difference more than you ever know. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for lives that are changed. That's what it's all about. That's why you came to earth for. And thank you that we can partake of that mission together with you and be your partners in changing the world, one person at a time. Thank you, O Lord, for giving us this privilege, and help us to continue doing this for as much as we are able, for as much as you are blessing us. We want to bless others. In Jesus' name, amen.